Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Saugus, we weep with you. 5 shot, 2 fatalities, I understand. This is Saugus, California, by the way, for those outside our state who might not be familiar with this news. The shooter attempted to kill himself, and he's at hospital right now in what they said is grave condition. No motive has been determined. He did post on Instagram the day before, quote, Saugus, have fun at school tomorrow, end quote. However, that message was removed from the shooter's Instagram page by persons unknown for reasons unknown. It's hard to convey the depth of our sorrow and compassion for these dear families who have suffered this, but our hearts and our prayers are definitely with you.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Another one, Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Freedom essentials that are being undermined by Democrats today. And the brain masseur will provide his assessment of what's really concerning about this impeachment proceeding. And I'll offer a little prediction. I'll summarize it in these words. We will get our turn. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
There are at least 6 planks in the foundations of our liberties in America that are being torn up out from under our feet. First, the nature of truth. Science and education are being corrupted and turned against the truth. Second, innocent until proven guilty. What's happened to that? That was a commonly shared American value. And then third, connected with that, the right to face your accuser. Really? How can you who are on the left, how can you put up with this? How can you swallow this? Aren't you just totally ashamed of yourselves to let this go on? And fourth, the right to present evidence in your defense? Come on. I mean, these people aren't even, I don't even recognize my country anymore, at least in one major side of it, you know, the left. The left, they're out of the mind. And then fifth, generally speaking, the rule of law versus the idea of a mob rule. What is this nonsense of knocking the hats off people's heads just because you don't like the statement MAGA and this guy? What is this about? I mean, it goes to a connected issue, natural law as ordained by God versus anarchy, and then justice and judgment for all versus special rights, and then the protection of a privileged class in our country. What has happened to America? Now, I challenge you to think of one single principle protecting our freedoms that is not being daily undermined by the left today. Let's talk about this a little bit. First, the nature of truth. You know, science and education are being corrupted and turned against it. You've heard Democrats say stuff that probably sounds strange to you. Like, you know, Democrats don't care about facts. They care about the truth. Remember when Biden said that? Probably you sat there like I did wondering if you heard right. Many of you, I dare say, assumed it was nothing more than another example of bumbling Biden. You know, but Hillary said something very near this a little while before, and it's something that I happen to know that has become a fundamental assumption among many of the so-called elite in our culture today. Truly, the notion has quite a long history of development that we don't have time to get into. I might point to one of the many roots that led us to this place, situational ethics. But it goes deeper than that, my friend, and it's more widespread in terms of its philosophical roots. It goes into arguments over epistemology, that, you know, a field of inquiry where we work to distinguish justified belief from mere opinion. And it treats of things like what is truth and so on. But it has evolved to the place where truth is a word now that identifies what advances whatever somebody believes is a just cause. So you see, truth has no objective criteria. It doesn't refer to factual information and needs no support from facts. It only needs to support a cause to which someone is committed. Now, for that reason, when facts impede the advancement of the cause, well, those facts are dismissed because in that case, they contradict the truth. Weird, huh? It's a weird way to think. But what you need to understand is this is what Democrats believe about truth today. Their cause is the truth. The ideology that supports and advances their cause, that's truth. And everything contrary to that cause is, by default, a lie. If someone assembles facts in such a way as will expose their ideology as faulty or false, well, they dismiss those facts because they're not interested in facts. They are interested in the truth. Like Biden said, you've heard me say often that if you separate facts from truth, you have neither. And what I mean is the nature of facts is in that way distorted and ignored, and the nature of truth is, of course, destroyed, so you end up with neither. The impeachment proceedings illustrate where this philosophy takes us. You see, they don't have facts to support their allegation. And the first thing we should try to do here is to get a clear idea of exactly what it is that they are alleging Trump did. Some listened to these hearings, as I listened to much of it, and came away thinking, so Trump did nothing. That there's no real accusation that Trump did anything here. So what is the allegation? Well, Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi allege that Trump attempted to strong-arm President Zelensky of Ukraine to dig up dirt on his political opponent, Joe Biden. Now, let's lay aside for the moment that it is highly questionable whether Joe Biden will actually win the Democratic nomination in the first place, and second, whether President Trump is at all threatened by the idea of running against Joe Biden. But anyway, this is all based on the testimony of a whistleblower, so-called, who claims Trump attempted to pressure Zelensky to investigate Biden's actions to strong-arm then-Ukrainian president to fire a certain Ukrainian prosecutor who, it happened, was investigating a Ukrainian company, Burisma, who had hired Joe Biden's son to sit on their board. And they paid him upwards of $6 million for his services, whatever they were. Biden's son can't explain to us what value he brought to the board of Burisma. Really, he was asked, and he said he didn't know. So obviously, either they were buying influence or trying to buy into some prestige. Did you hear what I said? Let's run it by you again, just in case you missed it. Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi allege that Trump attempted to strong-arm the Ukrainian President Zelensky to investigate Joe Biden's admitted use of pressure to strong-arm the former president of Ukraine to fire a prosecutor that Biden claimed was corrupt. You see, he wanted corruption looked into, right? So Trump is asking the current president of Ukraine to investigate the admitted strong-arm tactics used by Biden to get a Ukrainian prosecutor fired because, well, Trump's concerned that there might be corruption involved in that. Since, after all, Biden's son at that time worked for the company that was under investigation by the Ukrainian prosecutor for corruption, or had been under investigation by that prosecutor for corruption. Am I the only one who sees the obvious here? I mean, the irony has a lot of wrinkles in it, but it really isn't too hard to iron out what's going on here. Is your iron hot? Psst, good. What is the crime that Trump supposedly committed? According to Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, when Trump asked the Ukrainian president to investigate Joe Biden's threat to withhold $1 billion in loan guarantees unless they fired Shokin, the prosecutor responsible to prosecute corruption cases in Ukraine. Now, for the record, this guy Shokin was being accused of not doing his job. And while some say he was set up, others say he was taking huge bribes. That rather than investigating Burisma, he was actually protecting the corruption going on there, and so on. It goes on and on. You understand there is competing testimony on all of this that, in fact, an investigation would help sort out. So Adam and Nancy believe Trump pressured the current Ukrainian president, Zelensky, to investigate Biden's admission that he pressured Ukraine to fire their prosecutor because of allegations that Joe did this to protect his own interests. You know, his son being on the board of the Burisma Corporation. And that was an aside, by the way. Oh, yeah, this is something that's being missed. But pay attention to what I'm saying now. The issue of Joe Biden was mentioned as a secondary interest, not the primary interest. The primary concern was Trump requested Zelensky do the United States. He did say us. He didn't say me, do me a favor. He said do us a favor and look into how the whole Russian collusion thing got originated, because Trump learned it originated in Ukraine and that Ukrainian officials were participating in this. And Zelensky assured the president that he would take steps to investigate that. You see, so the Biden thing was a side issue. It's a kind of, oh, and by the way, We're concerned about the allegations that Biden interfered with Ukrainian internal affairs using congressional approved loan guarantees as leverage to compel Ukraine to fire their prosecutor when his own son worked on the board of a company that had been the subject of investigation. So, you see what I'm doing here? I'm trying to clarify what it is exactly that Adam and Nancy are concerned about. What's the crime? It was good for Biden to pressure Ukraine to fire a prosecutor because, well, Biden was convinced the guy was corrupt. You don't need a trial for that. You just fire him. He didn't even ask for an investigation, man. He just said go straight to fire the guy. Think about that. But it's not okay for the president to ask for an investigation into Biden's threat to hold back $1 billion in loan guarantees and the allegations that arose from that surfaced, that he did this to protect the interests of his son, who worked for a Ukrainian company at that time, which had been the subject of investigation by that prosecutor. You know, it seems to me that pressuring a foreign government to look into allegations of corruption is something the Democrats are, well, as they say, they're down with that. So what's the problem here? Perhaps there actually is something to find in investigating Joe Biden's inappropriate use of a threat to manipulate a foreign power to fire a prosecutor Biden considered corrupt. Which, by the way, he had no legal authority to withhold that funding. But wait, that was not even the primary concern in the conversation transcript that we all read between Trump and Zelensky. The first concern mentioned was this. Trump asked Zelensky to do us a favor and get serious about investigating how the Russian collusion farce originated because, as Trump pointed out, Ukraine knows that corrupt politicians in Ukraine were neck deep in all of that. So let's look at this again. Adam and Nancy are concerned that Trump asked a favor of the Ukrainian president, and the favor was this, that the Ukrainian president would investigate the origins of the Russian collusion scam. Wait, let's get the whole picture here. How many of you are concerned about the Russian collusion scam that was run against Trump by the Democrats for, well, it actually started before the election in 2016, so this has been something going on for about 4 years. I would say that all of America would really like to get to the bottom of all that. And I would expect all truth-loving, honest, patriotic Americans would want this to be done. Exactly as the Democrats so repeatedly told us, America deserves to know what happened in the Russian collusion thing. Well, we deserve to know how this got started because there are legitimate questions that have been raised that create some serious suspicions here. And I think we can point to enough occasions in Trump's own history to support the statement that Trump would be as concerned about this even if he had never been the subject of the investigation. But leaving that aside for the moment, would anyone actually blame Trump for wanting to get to the bottom of this scam that harangued him for all that time? Good. You know, it just happens here to be the case that if Trump had a personal interest in the matter that was part of what motivated him to pursue it, well, his personal interest just happens to be directly linked to our national interest and to, well, my interest. How about you? I want to know. How about you? I want Ukraine to investigate this matter. I want to know how the Russian collusion scam got started. And I think a million Americans ought to write their representatives demanding that investigation takes place. And we get off this farcical nonsense and get into the real business of taking care of justice in this country. So let's recap and conclude this most fundamental of all questions with regard to the impeachment hearings. And that is, what's it about? What's the allegation? Adam and Nancy allege that Trump used the power of his office to pressure a foreign power to investigate how the Russian collusion scam got started. And, oh, and by the way, while you're at it, look into this Biden scandal, too. I have questions about that. All of America does. We need to get to the bottom of all of it. Okay, and here's the setting. Trump, doing his duties as the chief executive of the United States of America, tasks his Justice Department to investigate how it is that America was dragged through this miserable 3 years plus with Mueller and Comey and company and all. And this investigation leads our attorney general and FBI director into inquiries concerning things that went down in Ukraine. So the president, in a conversation with their new president, says, hey, do us a favor. Cooperate with our effort to get to the bottom of Ukraine's involvement in the origins of the Russian collusion scam. To me, that sounds like the most natural thing for our president to do. Personally, and for our national interests. If anyone really believes Trump needs the Ukraine to get dirt on bumbling Biden to win an election against him, they are hopelessly delusional. And when I get back, I'm going to tell you the real reason Adam and Nancy are risking it all. I mean, they're putting it all in on what amounts to a really bad hand, to use a poker analogy. Hold on, my friends, I'll be right back.
Encounter God. The word means to meet, to experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year. Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God and know that God is real. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, and anybody that would steal from us our liberties. Now listen to the Taylor Kent testimony. What a bunch of nonsense. The American people are smart enough to see through this. And I'll tell you something else I can see through. I can see where in this testimony, Taylor was reading Adam Schiff's insertions. That's speculation there, but I think so. I tell you what, you go back and watch the video of Taylor's testimony, and you'll notice that every time he stops to drink some water, you pay attention, you'll see it's clear to me he's reading somebody else's words there. Even that is not damning, however. But these are the only places in his monologue where he actually says something that makes you think, okay, here is something that has at least something to do with the case. And then it fizzles into nothing over and over and over again. It's obvious this bureaucrat doesn't like his boss, okay? He's a lifer and a one-worlder, and he's angry that Trump was not playing the political game that he was accustomed to playing. Listening to Taylor repeatedly made me think, what is this? Is Trump's foreign policy on trial here? Well, when are we going to get to the point? You can't impeach a president because you don't like his foreign policy. I couldn't. If that's the case, Obama should have been rousted out of office long ago. And Americans understand that saying, quote, withholding security assistance in exchange for help with a domestic political campaign in the United States is crazy, end quote. That statement says nothing that anybody wouldn't agree with. It doesn't amount to anything even remotely resembling evidence that Trump did anything remotely resembling what it is he said. All right, you know, then to repeat it as if it's some sort of coup de grace, you know. I said that then, and I say it now. What a bunch of nonsense. This is a joke. It's very near to saying, I said the sky was blue. That's what I said. I said it then, and I say it now. How stupid do the Democrats think we are? But the fact is, folks, that is as close as any of the witnesses came to actually making a charge that Trump did something wrong. They can't impeach him because he fired the ambassador. That's the prerogative of his office. Anyway, Jim Jordan did a great job. Him and Devin Nunes need a pat on the back and a vigorous handshake of thanks, you know. They handled their job to represent America's interest admirably. Not everything coming out of California is insane. Way to go, Devin. Thank you. We've got your back. These men expose the truth about what's going on. An anonymous so-called whistleblower who has confessed he has no firsthand knowledge of what it is he's whistleblowing about, that he has admitted that he's repeating hearsay, and who is known to have Trump derangement syndrome disease, who worked for Joe Biden, reports something someone from inside the White House said, right? We don't know who. Something they told him, and what they told him was this, that they were uncomfortable with the conversation that Trump had with the Ukrainian president. So what? I don't care if you were uncomfortable with something. What did he say? That's the issue. And we're not even sure that the individual who passed this on actually themselves heard the conversation. This might be your third string. They're revealing the private conversations of a president with foreign leaders, that's against the law. All right, from an official within the White House, a White House like that. Look, the information was leaked. It's not a whistleblower, it's a leaker, just like Tom Fitton says. And that, by the way, is a crime in itself, which makes it evidence that is fruit of the poisonous tree, if you understand that principle in law. You know, and add to that, this, that we all read the transcript, okay? And by itself, that transcript doesn't prove anything that's criminal on the part of the president. It simply does not prove the president bribed the Ukrainian president or leveraged him to dig up dirt on his political opponent. The proof isn't there. But I said I would tell you what's really behind Adam and Nancy's literally laying their political lives on the line in this phony impeachment show. I mean, there's no impeachable offense here, and every reasonable person knows that. There's something else they're using this to hide. It's a cover-up. I've said this from the beginning, that all of this is an effort by the Democrats to keep Americans looking the other way. Keep looking at Trump, not at them, and what Obama did and Hillary did. But the evidence supporting this intuitive understanding of what's going on is piling up, my friend. Judicial Watch has been doing some digging. Alexander Chalupa is the DNC operative who was tasked with trying to dig up dirt on Trump with the help of Ukrainian officials. Now, this we know. The part about Ukrainian officials participating in activity that is interfering with our elections, you see, that's what they're trying to get you to believe Trump's campaign was doing, when it was them that was doing. Okay, so what happens if Zelensky agrees to cooperate with their attorney general and FBI director in their efforts to run down the connections between Ukrainians, okay, and the effort to bring down Trump? You see, it might be interesting to look into the 27 times that Chalupa visited the White House during all of this. 27 times. Chalupa's not a superstar in the DNC. But she had extraordinary access to the White House during that time. So we have a DNC operative with extensive activity in Ukraine working with the help of Ukrainian officials to get dirt on Trump, who is visiting the White House 27 times during all of these goings on. Then if Judicial Watch has correctly identified the hearsay leaker who is hiding behind the whistleblower claim for cover from criminal prosecution, well said, Tom Fitton. Guess what? The leaker was in the Obama administration at the time. So you see, he was working in the White House in the Obama administration. So his involvement in a Soros group that was connected to the Ukraine operatives that released the so-called black ledger that was used to implicate Manafort is at least interesting, don't you think? And does this not connect Obama's administration with the Russian collusion scam? Or suggest a connection? Sure it does. So the DNC operative connects Hillary, and this whistleblower connects Obama. The fact that Obama and Hillary were both up to their necks in this conspiracy to use a foreign government to interfere with our election, and when they lost, they had to cover their tracks. So they have been engaged in treasonous activity, a backdoor coup. A coup depends on secrecy, speed, and suppression of opposition. Thank you, Mr. Fitton. The impeachment proceedings are exactly what AOC said that they are. She said it's, quote, about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome next year, end quote. And the disaster would be that if this blows up in their faces and they lose in 2020, then their entire house of cards is going to collapse on them. Because then Trump will have the proverbial mandate to go after this cabal and really drain the swamp. I said the Democrats are dismantling the platform upon which freedom stands in this country. I mentioned six of these. First, the nature of truth is being corrupted. 51 genders, really? Second, they are daily undermining innocent until proven guilty. Third, they're connected with that, the right to face your accuser. What's happening in this country? The right to present evidence in your own defense? You need to be seeing what they're dismantling your protections and your liberties. And then fifth, generally speaking, the rule of law versus the rule of mob, or to put it another way, natural law as ordained by God versus anarchy. And sixth, justice and judgment for all versus special rights and protections for the privileged class. Let's look at that for a moment. Democrat politicians are in America today the privileged class. And LGBTQ rights eclipse the rights of everybody else. At the bottom line, the Democrats' case against Trump is constructed entirely upon hearsay evidence and supported by only one thing, and that is the Democrats' hatred for Donald Trump. And they're afraid of him, their fear of Donald Trump. It's gotten so bad that Democrats are actually saying things so ridiculous like this. Democrat Mike Quigley said, quote, "Hearsay can be much better evidence than direct evidence," end quote. Really? I mean, there's no limit to how far these people will go. No limit to how far they will distort common sense, no limit to how much they will torture logic. You'd better hope you never have to be taken into court with these people running the show. So what's my prediction? Tom Fitton made similar predictions, but like him, I'm looking at the situation and I'm wondering if Adam and Nancy actually have the support they need to actually get impeachment to proceed. It's too obvious that there's no case here, and Trump's support at the grassroots level is just soaring. Trump's campaign is receiving support for his campaign in terms of donations and volunteers that is really, I think it's unprecedented. It's certainly outpacing any of his challengers. But here is what we need to look out for and pray earnestly about. Voter fraud. It's a big issue. I bring it up often because I'm very concerned about that. But also this, if the Democrats go nuclear and force an impeachment vote and get a simple majority to indict, it will go to the Senate, where the standard for conviction is significantly higher. The Senate cannot convict without a two-thirds majority vote, and that means you need 66 Senate votes to convict. Now, here's the problem. I read today that some in the Senate are calling for a closed ballot, secret ballot. The Trump haters are desperate. A GOP advisor argued last Tuesday that there is a path to removing Trump with a Republican-dominated Senate. The Constitution does not stipulate the rules for how the Senate conducts its trial for impeachment. It requires only a simple majority to establish the rules. Then all that would have to happen is for three turncoat Republicrats to demand a secret ballot, or they will block any set of rules from passing. Assuming they had all the Dems on their side, this would effectively hold the Senate hostage to their demand. If the Senate finally conceded to their demand, then the Senate would adopt a set of rules that included a secret ballot. Now, the person advising the GOP in this matter raises the question, quote, if they, the Senate, didn't have to face backlash from constituents or the media or the president himself, who knows how many Republican senators would vote to remove? This is an unprecedented moment in American history. We quite literally stand at a fork in the road before us where one path leads our nation totally out from under God and into the power of tyrants and crazy people, and the other path leads us back toward our founding principles and toward reasserting the foundations of our liberty and sanity and common sense. The violent take the kingdom by force. To pull something like what I described here is taking the kingdom by force. It's force because it's deceptive. If they try to pull this, I'm sure there will be an outcry that would be heard around the world. But you should call your representative and implore him or her to refuse Schiff's phony impeachment ploy. Call 202-224-3121 and express your concern that hearsay evidence is not enough to support something so serious as impeaching the president. Then, if they go ahead with that, you watch. And if you see the Senate start playing around with the rules to let these guys hide their vote from the people who hired them to represent them, well, you call again and you let them know what you think about that kind of trickery and deceit, and that you believe government should be open and transparent. But whatever you do, do this. Go to www.booksatdbp.com and get my newest book, God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. In that book, you will learn what we need to do to win in 2020 and take America back for God. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. Leave a message for me. Lights on if you agree. Lights off if you disagree. Or go to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. And you can send me a message by email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
If you're looking for unvarnished, plain Bible preaching that tells it like it is without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families navigate through the moral storms of our day.
Go to santamarialighthouse.org.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.